Have you enjoyed the extra help? Am I lifting up our voices? And then we're going to have some extra songs. It's going to be a shorter message, some extra songs, and then a hymn sing. My hope was is to have that so you are to be thinking about what I'm saying in the sermon, but to thinking about songs that you would like to sing. And we want to make it not like if you got to go and you have something you need to do, you could just get up and leave. But we want to have the hymn sing let you choose songs and sing as many as you like. A new man with a new song. That's the message. And I'm reading from Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. It says, I have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, nor circumcised nor uncircumcised, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ has forgave you, so also must you do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. When we sing, we preach to each other, we teach and we admonish. And we shouldn't sing anything that doesn't. That's why it says in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. It's the obligation of believers to teach and admonish one another. And one way we do it is through music. And so we're celebrating that today. I couldn't wait to get up and speak, and I can't wait to shut up so that we can sing some more. I hope that I don't really hope that you feel the same way, but I hope you feel the same way about the singing part. Have you noticed on the OBC Facebook page there's a new challenge? Everybody's like, well, if you did notice it, you don't want to say, because it's a new challenge to have a day in which we memorize a verse. And I'm going to mention that in just a bit. A new man with a new song. It's a music lesson. What I just read to you just now might have been a music lesson to you. Wow, music is a way in which we proclaim Jesus, that we preach one to another. So we get lessons from music, and this is part, and it's kind of neat for me. It really fits into part of a larger series. And the larger series is a series on, yeah, discipleship. It's a series on discipleship. We're looking at the six commitments of a disciple. I won't even try to get this out of you. It's a good thing that it's a larger series, and we're going to be talking about it for a long time. But not today, short time today. What does music have to do with making disciples? Well, I just read to you, preaching and we teach each other through songs and hymns and spiritual songs. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, we saw the disciple someone who's committed to the lordship of Jesus Christ. It's first in every relationship, not just the church relationships, but in everything. The lordship of Christ is the defining aspect of a defining commitment of a disciple. A disciple is committed to the lordship of Christ. And then the last couple of weeks, we've noticed that a disciple is someone in John 8:31 who is committed to the word of God. Jesus said, if you abide, if you continue in my word, then you are disciples indeed. If then. You don't hear much of that anymore. And that's why we did three sermons, so this will be the third one so far on it, is that Jesus is the first, he's the Alpha and the Omega, he has the first and last word. He has the first and last word on if you are a disciple or not, right? And he defined what a disciple is, and when we see it in the Word of God, we either act on it or don't, and that's the difference between if we're a disciple or not. It's pretty simplistic. I love simplistic. That's my middle name. Committed to the Word of God, Jesus is the first and last word on everything we do. And then we looked at Jesus as the living word. Remember we said the second week that it's living the dream? We're living the dream. We've been called to the Yale or the whatever. I wouldn't want to go there now. They just made at one of the Ivy League schools, they've just made an atheist their lead man in the religious department. They said they chose an atheist because there's a lot of different religions and a lot of different denominations, and an atheist would be impartial to any of them, so he's the obvious choice. You want to talk about a world that's upside down. But hopefully we got ours flipped upside right? What does that? The Word of God. He's committed to the Word of God. And so we're living the dream. We're dreaming with our eyes wide open. Our eyes are wide open because our Bible is wide open. And if our heart is wide open, we've got a song on our wide open mouth. Isn't that cool? Jesus had wide open ears as a disciple. He said, he wakened my ears morning by morning to hear like a learner so that I could speak a word in season to him who is weary. So we listen with open hearts and an open Bible, and then we can speak to weary people by song or by prayers and words with our eyes wide open. So today we open our mouths, Colossians 3:16, and we open our Bibles to that if you haven't already. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. There's a hymn that starts out like this. He keeps me singing, it's titled, He keeps me singing as I go. There is within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low. And then a little further down the song, it says, fear not, peace be still, in all love life's ebb and flow. Jesus keeps us singing. We sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord, and it's the Holy Spirit. This is the first and number one evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Have you ever been filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, how would you know if you were filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, the scriptures say in Ephesians 5:19, a parallel passage to this, where every word is the same except for here where it says the word of Christ dwelling in you. There it says being filled with the Holy Spirit. They're the same thing. That's why Jesus said if you're my disciple, you'll continue in my word. It's the Holy Spirit is pouring the word. The Holy Spirit is pouring the will of God into our lives and out of our lives. In Romans chapter 5, it says that the Spirit of God works in our lives, and it says that our hearts are full of love. He pours into our lives love. And then what comes out of our lives is love, joy. We react to love with what? Oh, boy. We react to love with joy, at least some of us. It's like, this is a wonderful thing. You know, and it tickles me, I guess, in my heart. And so I sing. It tickles me, and so I sing. We make melody in our hearts to the Lord because of what the Lord is already doing. In Colossians 3:10, it's the new man. In 3:16, it's the new song. In John 8:31, a disciple is a new man with a new song, an open heart, an open ear, and an open mouth. This new man proves himself by farther on in the passage, submitting. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you sing. You sing. You make melody. You make noise to God. It's like these people up here. I can do it. Isn't that nice? You make noise to God. The people that God puts a song in, and God gives all of His people different gifts, different abilities. For what? What did God give you a gift for? For someone else. He give you a gift to give. And so when he gives someone the ability to make music, and then we can join in that music, and we submit to God, the great giver of gifts, and we're happy with our gift, right? And we're happy with their gift. The new man proves that he has new life, has the Holy Spirit within him, it's demonstrated when we sing one to another. And then the new man sings to who? we're speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So in one way, you know, it's like, hey, you should speak to yourself first, right? But it's also in the plural, we're speaking to yourselves. You know where you have to be? In the church. You need to be together. Not watching the church. And at home, you can sing to you. But you come to church so you can sing to each other. You're like, whoa, this is not a performance. No, it's not a performance. And neither is this, or it'd be a bad one. You know, it's preaching is not a performance. And singing is not a performance. It's God speaking is what it should be. And so the new man sings to ourselves, and we sing to one another, and we sing to God, and we sing with joy, from joy, for joy. That's what helps. You know, sometimes it's like, wow, did you hear me sing? You wouldn't, good. But you know, but I can sing for joy. Doesn't matter what it sounds like, right? And we know we're going to look at all these, but in the psalm, there's many places where he just says, just make a lot of noise. Boy, Canfields love that. Got a noisy family, you know, like everybody is loud. We had just had a birthday party for my dad, and there were people, you know, it's like somebody was telling me about an experience in their house, and they said, at my house, I have 6 grandchildren every day. And this is what they said. It's like this, you know. I'm lying there, what? God is like, yeah. You know, have you ever thought, you know, like the animals? Everything in the world is singing praise to God. Thunder is praise to God. And the animals are singing. And some of the birds, you know, like we love the little songbirds. And we go, oh, isn't that beautiful? And then what's the elephant do? That's it? It's a trumpet. They say that, right? The elephant's trumpeting. And what's God doing? I love that. I love that loud noise. He loves music. And so he puts it in us. We sing with joy, from joy, for joy, and we sing for edification, for instruction, for direction. That's why we open the Bible. We open our heart. We open our ear. We open our mouth. It's the whole person is instructed and responding to God. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, it's God who works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure, and it's in you to work it out. God works into you a new song, and you work it out. The people who are up front part of this singing, they practiced. They worked it, they're working it out. We just blurt it out, and that's just fine. So blurt, if you will. So we do this for instruction. We do this for direction. All things for the one thing. We do this for the gospel's sake. And so here we go. This is a big test. So it's the whole Bible to make a whole disciple. Yeah, it's the whole Bible to make a whole disciple. So it's together that we magnify the Lord and exalt his name together. In other words, the new man with an open Bible opens his heart, opens his ears and his mouth, and sings a new song. Now, when I say takes the whole Bible, go back to Psalm. When I say takes the whole Bible, this is so exciting to me because I read through the Bible. And it's just neat to me to have, you know, I'll be preparing a message and something and I'm just reading through the Bible. Or this, Rosalind communicated this to me weeks ago, and then this is where I just happened to have read this last week. Hold on to your seatbelt. Isaiah chapter 42, I think. Yeah, Isaiah 42, 10. We have a prayer meeting with the pastors in the area, and we were getting ready to pray, and I was like, oh, I'm just, my heart's just beating faster that this, starting today, was my first day in Isaiah, or 40. Isaiah, the second half of Isaiah 40 to 68 is called sometimes the New Testament of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah has the same amount of chapters as the whole Bible, and there's the same amount of chapters in this as there is in the New Testament. And this Isaiah 40 to 66, for me, I'm just like, I want to read it over and over and over and over. But I'm so excited to be there. And then this I get in chapter 42, verse 10. Sing to the Lord a new song and his praise from the ends of the earth. Ha! You know, that's where I'm going to be in this week. That was weeks ago. I don't think that's anything mysterious, but I'm just excited about it. Turn the fans up so everybody wakes up and gets excited too. A new song. Okay, quickly, let's look at some new examples of new songs. And if you're, turn your Bibles to Psalms. They're all going to be in Psalms, and they're all going to be in order. The first one is in Psalms 33. I want you to know that what we've been doing is what we ought to be doing, and what we're going to do afterwards. I want you, and this is like a cheerleader or a pitch, you know, that I want you to have a song that you want to sing. You know, maybe you want it to minister to someone, or you want that song to minister to you, and you want somebody else to sing it. That's what we're going for. Psalm 33, verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord, all you righteous, for praise from the upright is, the King James says, fitting, fit, right. The New King James says, it's a beautiful thing. Singing is fit, it's right, it's proper, it's what happens in the new man that's full of the Holy Spirit. It's the can't help it thing. And David was there. Praise the Lord with a harp. Make melody to him and an instrument with 10 strings. Now, well, some of these you'll have to put two instruments together to get 10 strings. Pretty cool. But what's the point? Is use everything you've got when you are praising God. And then sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. If you can't sing, maybe you can shout. Like, I'm not even good at shouting anymore. I'm good at just talking loud, but when I shout, I crack or something like that, you know. And when I drive deer, I go, whoa, instead of what I used to do. So, sing with a new song, play skillfully. Why? Psalm 33:2, sing to the Lord a new song because, verse 4 and verse 6, the word of the Lord is right. It's just like Colossians 3:16, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual song. That when the word of Christ is dwelling in you richly, boom, out comes a song. And it's a song about what? God's word. It's a song that recognizes it's right. And now everybody quote with me together Proverbs 30 verse 5 because it's the one that was in this week's thing. Very good. The word of the Lord is true. Our righteous are always right. It's pure. There's a lot of different translations. But that's what this says. I just thought that was a neat thing too. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of God. Why wouldn't you sing? In verse 6, by the word of the Lord, he made the heavens and the earth. Why wouldn't you sing? What did the angels do when he spoke the world into existence? They broke out in song, it says in Job. We sing to the Lord a new song, and we sing because it's the word of God dwelling in us richly. When we abide in, then we sing about it. It's where the disciple lives. Because it lives in a disciple. Isn't that radical? It's where we live because it lives in us. Who lives the Christian life? Boy, that's a really hard one, huh? I think it's a hard one for a different reason than maybe you think. Galatians 2:20 says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live by faith, which is what? The word of God dwelling in me richly. It's not just faith, like I got lots of faith. I just believe everything's going to work out okay in the world. No, it's faith that's built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, yes, but it's built on the word of God standing on a pillar. It's radical. Psalm 33:1, it's fit. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing to God. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. If his eye is on the sparrow, I know he watches me. We sing a new song because we have a new heart. We have a new rule. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Not, it's not that the peace of God have a room in your hearts. this little spot where you run off to every time you're troubled by what's going on. No, it's let the peace of God take over in your lives. And then we have a new song, a new rule, and a new ruler. Colossians 3:16, Jesus' words. That's radical, right? His word rules in us. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Ruling, that's the way of how he rules. Somebody who just obeys everything Jesus says. Boy, that's radical, isn't it? Well, that's a fanatical. Boy, there's this guy, he's always witnessing. Really embarrasses me to be around him. What a fanatic. Radical, fanatical. Liberal, because it's liberating. He's the guy who's free. And then in Psalm 40, verse 3. And not to go very fast on all the rest of them. I've just delighted in this for weeks. In Psalm 40, verse 3, David said, I was in miry clay. I was in it up to here. I was in miry clay. And he said, he brought me up out of it. And not only did he bring me up out of it, but he set my feet on a rock. What is the rock? Well, we know now this rock is Jesus. The confession of Christ is what's the word of God. We have a solid standing. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise to my God. This new song, I'm so excited, but I can't read them all to you. If you read this psalm, you'll be able to see these easily. It's a new song of deliverance. He took him out of a pit and put him on a rock. It's a new song of delight. He said, he has given me sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body you have prepared for me. And he says, I delight to do your will. And what was the will? That he lay that body down on a cross. That was what he was given the body for. And he delights. It's a new song of deliverance, a song of delight. It's a song of devotion. We bring a sacrifice of praise. He says, I bring it to you. It's a song of duty. Now Psalms 96, verse 1, and Psalm 98, verse 1. They got them both right there close, and they both pretty much have the same idea. At least that's what I'm going to narrow it down to now because of all that I said already, and I'm trying to say much more. In the Psalm 96:1 and Psalm 98:1, we have a new song, and it's a song about coming again, oh, what a wonderful day it will be. Jesus is coming again. Marvelous message we sing. Glorious song to the King. We're reminding ourselves every time we take communion. That's what we're doing. Proclaiming what? That what he did for us, and he died and was buried and rose again. Our sins are forgiven, and we're proclaiming this what? Till he comes again. He's coming again. And so this psalm, Psalm 96, 1 says, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Proclaim his good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare among the nations his wonderful works. Give, O Lord, to the families. Give, O Lord, glory and strength. And then verse 13. For before the Lord, because he is coming again. He is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth. And the Lord is known by the judgment that he executes. Psalm 9, verse 16. You should memorize that verse. We really need it in this day and age. When we see the things that are going on, we could be in despair. But nope, not if we read this song. Not if we sing this song to each other. And the next one, Psalm 98, 1. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. For he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm has gained the victory that he is going to rule and reign. Shout joyfully to the Lord, verse 4 says, all the earth, for verse 9, he is coming to judge the earth. With righteousness he will judge the world and the peoples with, this is a word for you, equity. Yeah. Everybody's going to get what they deserve. what their really works are. Nobody's getting away with anything, and everybody's getting rewarded for everything. That's the Jesus that we sing about. That's what we sing to each other. We sing a new song because he's coming again. It's a new song. And we take communion, we proclaim he is coming again. Then Psalm 144, verse 9, and also Psalm 149, but we won't look at that one. Psalm 144, verse 9. I will sing a new song to you, O God. On a harp of 10 strings, I will sing praises to you, the one who gives salvation to kings, the one who delivers David his servant from the deadly sword. Rescue me and deliver me from liars. We have a new song. Rescue me and deliver me from terrorists, from lies. We sing about God's salvation. There's threats and terrors, and what do? Now, I want to slow down here, and I want you to grasp this. There are threats, and there are terrors, and you do what? I love this. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 21 and 22, there were threats, and there were terrors, and the army was big, and the people of God didn't feel like they stood a chance. And I'm reading 2 Chronicles 20, verse 21. First it says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon a man, and it said, so, and he gave him a message. And it says, Jehoshaphat bowed his head in verse 18 and his face to the ground. All Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And then the end of that, verse 19, it says, the Korahites stood to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. And so they rose in the morning and they went to the place where the battle was going to be. And someone stood up and said, believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. Believe his prophets. Let the word of Christ be another way. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly and admonish one another. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Look at what it says here. Sing to the Lord. And who should praise the beauty of his holiness as they went out before the army. we talk about the front lines. Who's on the front lines? We got the magician. Yeah, we got the magicians. That's who we want to do today in America. Put the magicians up there. We got the musicians on the front line. And it says, before the army, and they were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And when they began to sing praise to the Lord, God set an ambush and confused the enemy, and they started turning on each other and killing each other. When they got there with their army, they were already defeated. How different it is from us today. We're all confused about what's going on in the world. And that's because the word of Christ is not dwelling in us richly. And we're not singing to one another and building and enriching one another and giving each other, you know, what it takes to make it through today and bring glory to God. We're all about what's going on. It's a bit of a pity. But so now we know what to do, right? There's terrorists and lies, and so we just sing. Yeah. Sometimes that's what we do, but not always. And I just want to make, you know, someone, when if you mentioned this, I can just imagine when they did this, the congregation. Well, we've never done it that way before. You know, the army. We've never done it like that. I'm pretty sure that ain't going to work. Sing a new song. Next time you're tempted to believe a lie, and you're getting fed lies a lot, you're getting fed. I wish I could pop into your head, and you're getting fed lies from yourself. You know, you're like, oh, yeah, I know that media. They're full of lies. Yeah, I know that inside we're full of lies, and we have to be able to drive them out with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in our hearts. Now, back one last point for the church, a pitch. Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6, that we're all working at memorizing together, because we have that day on Thursday, I think it is. Listen to this. Singing can help your memory. I have people who tell me, well, memorizing the Bible, that's just impossible for me. And I'm like, oh, that's sad. And then I'm like, and then it's improbable for even more people than it's impossible for, right? But when you sing, so many songs we sing are right from scriptures. We're singing scriptures and we just know them. And we sing them enough times and we just know them. That's why you speak to one another and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sometimes it helps to go from that 18 inches or whatever it is, from your head to your heart. The person who says they can't memorize, they go from impossible to improbable to as Eugene would say on Adventures in Odyssey, indubitable. It's inescapable. Have you ever had that happen? You said this phrase from a song, and now I just can't get it out of my mind. The whole sermon, all I could think about was, this phrase from a song. A lot of times I went out of the church whistling, especially when I was at Braintree, the last song we sang, and I would go out whistling the song, and I was like, and it's really weird. Well, I sang the song, I didn't even think about it. I would go out whistling it because it's in my heart. Discipling is helping get the word of Christ in our mind and heart and to be at home with us because we have an open Bible, an open heart. We open our ears and we open our mouth and we sing to each other. Father, thank you for your word. I could sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I pray, Father, that as we participate in some more songs, that we will this word will be fulfilled, that we will speak to one another, that we will proclaim the Lord Jesus until he comes, that our expectations for you would grow, and our fascination with the world would decrease. And I pray, Father, that someone will have on their heart songs that they want us to participate with them in. In Jesus' name, amen.